Yesterday morning, I got up to receive an email from one of my blog readers, and he sent me this question because he was trying to figure out, you know, how do I unit test this workflow? So if we look at this workflow, what do we have here? It's a flow chart. It has some arguments that you pass in, an X and a Y, and you get back a result, right? And so he's just doing, of course, a very simple example here because he's doing a smart thing. He's trying to learn in a simple project, and then it'll get more difficult. So he comes in, he right lines these things, and then he calls into this sequence. So what's in here? Ah, well, here we're doing some messaging with a WCF service. So we have send, we're invoking the sum operation, we send the parameters. He sent them as A and B, but he uses the values X and Y. By the way, they don't have to be different names. You can use the same name if you want to. They could have been X and Y there too. But anyway, so he sent parameters, and then on the receive side, he receives back the result in the sum result, right? So cool, that looks great. And then in his project, he has a WCF service. And so he has here a calculator implementation, a real simple calculator, and a contract here, iCalc, and so forth, right? So it's real simple. And what I really like about this guy is that he did unit tests, right? So if we look here, he's got unit tests here in this project. And so cool, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. Let's run the unit tests and see what happens. And we see, cool, we have all three tests passing. Great, great. Oh, except for one thing. Here is a console app that's hosting his service. Now, what this means is in order for the unit test to pass, this thing has to be running. All right, so let's kill it. Let's run all the unit tests again. We see two of them pass right away, but the third one failed. And if we look at why it failed, we see that, of course, the socket couldn't connect and all of that. So this illustrates a good reason why Roy Oshirov says that you shouldn't have this kind of external dependency in your test. Who's Roy Oshirov? Here is his book, The Art of Unit Testing. And I've met Roy. I've had him on my show. He's a very, very good guy, real funny guy. And this is a great book. I highly recommend it if you want to go and learn about how to do some good unit testing. And what we just saw illustrates a problem. See, Roy says that if you have a unit test, it should be repeatable at the push of a button. You know, months or years later, if you open this project, you should be able to run it. And if somebody on your team who doesn't know anything about this project opens it up and hits this button to run all tests, they should all pass. They should. And you shouldn't have to know something like, oh, before you run the test, make sure that you go start the WCF service or things like that. In fact, a lot of people would argue that if I have a test that requires some external dependency to be running, whether it's a database or a web service or whatever, then really it's not a unit test anymore. It's what we would call an integration test. Now, okay, great. That's fine, but here we are with a workflow, and how do we get this workflow to work without the WCF service running? That is the question. And so that's what Roy was asking me, or not Roy, but Ryo is what he put in his email. Okay, so let's look at the test method here and see which one. Yeah, so we see here, he just did the simplest thing, you know, newed up a workflow invoker, you know, well, he just did workflow invoker invoke with the activity, pass in the arguments and assert some results. Simple, but our workflow has this dependency. Now, you might know that I have a project called Microsoft.activities.unittesting that is designed to help make it simple for people to unit test workflows because it can get really tricky really fast. And in the test code we just saw, it looks very simple, but now we've got this problem about these messaging activities. So I had given him some ideas, and he wrote back and said, wow, this is really hard. So I thought, okay, I'm going to spend some time on this. After a few hours, I came up with a solution. It's good. It works. And I put it into this latest release of Microsoft.activities.unit testing. Okay, so let's take a look at a test that works, and we'll talk about what we did. Okay, so here's a test that works, and we saw it working already because it was passing when we ran the test. So the first thing about this is that it uses this class called XAML Injector. And you see here, XAML Injector takes in the name of the XAML file. And what it's going to do is rewrite this XAML file and create a test version of the XAML file. So in fact, we can see this. If I go here and look in the test results that we just ran, which would be this one, and look in the out directory, we'll see workflow1.xaml got deployed because I have a deployment item. And then we see workflow1.o.test.xaml. Okay, so the reason I add a number to this is so that if you have multiple rewrites of this going on, they don't conflict, all right? So this would be the first rewrite. So what happens is that XAML Injector actually rewrites our XAML to use this one. And so I'm going to open this one with the XML editor so we can see in the XAML. All right, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Let's go back and look at the test code some more. So what did we do to this XAML? Well, the first thing we see right here is we did this replace all. So we said anytime we find a send activity, we want to replace it with this send stub. All right, so and then we have to say, well, what do we want the stub to do? Well, really, we don't need it to do anything, right? I mean, we could say just do nothing, and that's fine. And if we just do this, replace all, then we get the behavior as a stub that does nothing. Doesn't throw an exception, try to do anything, it just is a no-op, and that would be fine. To make this illustration a little more complete, there might be cases where you do want to set up the send parameters of the send activity. So I have a way where you can provide an implementation of the stub. Okay. Now our stub activity will run, and when it runs, it will look for an implementation. So I have some different kinds of implementation here. This one is one that will create parameters content for the send activity. And so if you just create one of these, and then down here we add the implementation to the extensions collection of the host, then it will find it, okay? So that one, optional, the send parameters. So I said, if you want to simulate sending the actual values, you can do this. Then, down here, we have the more important one, which is the receive activity. Because if we're going to test this, our workflow expects that after we invoke the service, we're going to get back a result. And we're going to do something with the result. So we have to do this part. Now, you know that in a workflow, if we go in here to the sequence, we see in the receive reply, there's two kinds of content in the messaging activities. There's parameter content, which we've used here, and there's also message content, where you just drop your data in there. And at the XAML level, they're actually two different types. So there's receive message content and receive parameters content. Now I'm only telling you this detail because you're going to have to use the correct type of implementation when you stub this. So in this case, since we used the parameters to receive the content, I have to create a receive parameter stub implementation. All right. And when you do this, you create a dictionary of string object, and you have the name of the result, and then whatever value you want to apply to that result. So in this case, I'm going to use expected result. Now, I use XAML Injector to replace all the receive replies with receive reply stub. Okay, and then we say XAML Injector.getActivity. This is where the actual rewriting happens. And so you noticed I had up here that we have a deployment item, right? So that will ensure that our XAML file gets deployed to the test directory. GetActivity will now rewrite it using the rules that we set up. So when we say replace all, what we're really doing is creating a rule. It hasn't happened yet. when we call get activity, then all the rules are applied as we do the loop. Now, the other thing I did is I didn't use just workflow invoker to create the test. I used a class from the Microsoft Activities unit testing called workflow invoker test. This just has some nice things in it that make your life a lot easier when you're unit testing. So you can still get at the invoker. So when I called it host here, I have host.invoker. That's the workflow invoker. Now we can add the extensions that we want. And then what you do is you say host.testActivity. So, you know, now the intention is really clear. It's not just workflow invoker.invoke, but it's we're testing this activity. And now you can do asserts like this, because we get back the result here, which is our dictionary of string value. You could do that, and that's okay. But host has a special way to do these, and it's better because it does assert out argument dot r equal, and now you just pass in the name of the result, okay, whatever it is you're looking for, and then what your expected result is. And this checks to be sure that the dictionary contains an argument named result, that that argument is of the same type as expected result, and that the values are equal. And you get better error messages if it fails. So I like using this approach. And then this part here, this is what's really cool. When you want to see what's really going on in your test, you can just call host.tracking.trace, and this will take the workflow tracking information and dump it right into the test result. So let me show you what I mean. So if we look at test method 1 here, we will see, okay, we see the console output, and you notice that the arguments are 0 and 0 because I didn't even send any arguments into the activity, all right, because I didn't need to, because we were stubbing the result, right? And so then we see that the result of the sum is 12, so our stub did work, but if we really want to see what's going on, the tracking data tells us what's happening. So whenever we load an activity from a XAML file, the type that you get is dynamic activity. So this is the top level activity. We see that we did not pass any arguments to it. And we see that it scheduled the flowchart, and the flowchart scheduled a write line, and then the flowchart scheduled the sequence. And then we get into here, and you notice the activity send stub is executing. Okay? And the arguments are 7 and 5. Where did those come from? They came from our stub implementation. They didn't come from the arguments passed into the workflow. And then we see that, okay, so activity receive reply for send is executing. Well, that's because it has a display name. Okay, but this is actually our receive stub. And the result we got back was 12. All right? And so the cool thing is, when you're testing, you can do things and look at this data, and you can see a lot of interesting results from it. And we have helpers in the tracking so that you can assert things out of your testing. So, for example, let's say that I wanted to assert that that this happens, that send stub is the thing that's executing. So what I could do is add a line here, like host.tracking.assert. Okay, and then I have some things like exist, does not exist, exist at. So I can say, what's the name I want to see, send stub, and then the state that I want to see it in. So let's say I want to see it executing. Okay, so that's another way I can test things that come out of the tracking data. Hey, that's pretty cool, huh? So now you can create a workflow that does things like invoke services and be able to unit test it. Now, there are times that you might want to unit test it with it actually invoking the WCF service. That would be an integration test. But for unit testing, we don't want to do that. And now you know how you can do it. So go get Microsoft.activities.unitTesting. Give these stub activities a try. And, I forgot to tell you, there's in the source for this project, if you want to get the source, I've put it there, there's unit tests that show more detailed things. Like, remember I said that messages have either parameters content and message content? So here's a case where I'm using message content. And so I just create a receive message stub implementation and the value I want the message to have. That's it. It's really simple. And then there might be cases where you want to simulate error conditions. Like, how does your workflow behave if the service is not available? Maybe you want to test that out. So on the send stub, I have a case where I show what you can do. So when you create a send stub implementation, you can provide an action that will be invoked when the send stub executes. So here's a case where I wanted to say, well, what would happen if the service wasn't available? Well, WCF would throw an endpoint not found exception. So I'm just saying, okay, I'm going to create an implementation that does that. And so I don't have to wait for a timeout or anything like that. It just throws it. And then I can get the values, the behavior that I want, and I can test how my workflow handles exceptions. Okay, that's it. Go get it. It's a lot of fun. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.